Scripture lesson today comes from the 16th chapter of Acts. The book of Acts is a historical theology or a theological history about the advance of the Word of God, beginning after the days of the resurrection and now out into the world. It is a story that has a lot of adventures. It has snakes that bite and people who see blinding lights. It has people who do miraculous healings, but it also has stories of everyday people doing everyday things. Sometimes it works out, and sometimes it does not. So the writer, Luke, is joining this story halfway through, and he's speaking about the Apostle Paul and some of his companions. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing through Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a direct course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On a Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When we were kids, my brother and my sisters used to play a game called Red Light, Green Light. Anybody ever play that one? My brother was it. He was always it. He stood some distance away from us, his back turned away from us, and he'd holler green light, and the rest of us would move quickly toward him. Abruptly, he'd call out red light and turn around, and the rest of us had to stop and freeze. And if he detected somebody moving, he would send that person back to the beginning. The game would go on like that, stop and go, go and stop. Our goal was to be the first one to tag him so we could be it. That's how the game went on, with starts and stops most of the afternoon. And that's the game that comes to mind when I hear this account from the book of Acts. That book is an account, mostly, of the church on the move. Beginning in Jerusalem, on to Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. See, according to Scripture, we live in the ends of the earth. You just thought that was the case. The Bible describes it that way. But for all the apparent success and progress of the gospel that Luke reports in this book, he also notes there are a lot of stops and starts, red lights and green lights. Now you and I know that to be true. Nothing ever travels in a straight line. When the kids get the keys to the car and you ask them to go for some milk, they might make a couple of stops along the way. Once my mother gave me the keys, sent me off to the supermarket to get some Italian bread for the spaghetti she was cooking for supper, I returned with the bread, eventually. But I wasn't hungry for the spaghetti. It might have had to do with those two Big Macs I ate on the way. Every journey has a detour, a turn in the road, an unexpected pothole, a blown tire, to say nothing of starts and stops. These days, I know very few people who retire from the same job that they began 40 years before. The former days of putting in your time at one place and staying there to retirement until you get the gold watch and the free trip to Jersey, those days are mostly gone. And from what they tell me, about 40% of college freshmen stay with their original major until graduation. Oh, I know they graduate, and this is what I'm going to study, but what they actually end up with might be something far different. Sometimes it's life that interferes. Other times, as was in my case, you come to your senses and ask, what was I thinking? I mean, there I was, bombing out of a calculus-based physics class, took my books to the study cubicle of the science library, sat down, not sure I wanted to do this, hating to study, and that's when I saw the message written in blue pen on the wall. It said, never let schooling interfere with your education. Closed my books, I said, that's it, I'm done with pre-med. Supposedly, it was a quote from Mark Twain, but I took it as the voice of God. When has God ever gotten to you and steered you in another direction? So the Apostle Paul thought he had the gospel all charted out. Ever since he was knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus, he's been going from one synagogue to the next to declare the Messiah has come and his name is Jesus. And the next one, the Messiah has come and his name is Jesus. He had some modest success with this, but not a few bumps along the way. And then something unexpected happened, something big. Some people who were not Jewish began to believe in Jesus too, which provoked the first big argument in the church. Jesus was a Jew, his followers were Jews, Paul was a Jew, the strategy was to speak to the Jews about Jesus, until several non-Jews began to believe in Jesus too. It was an enormous problem. Center of the Book of Acts, it takes 4, 5, 6 chapters to kind of begin working through. The church had been convinced that Jesus came only for the Jews like them, and it was a red light to everybody else. The problem is that God had given a green light where the church expected a red light. And the prevailing question was this: can you believe that God loves more people than we do? That was the first major disturbance of the church. And while the church tried to make sense of this, Paul decides to hit the road. If God would welcome the Gentiles, that's all he needed. He would still speak about Jesus to the Jews, go to the synagogue first, but he would also speak to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And he began to make his way across the land we now call Turkey. That's where today's story gets really interesting. He and his buddies tried to go left, and the Holy Spirit said no. And they tried to go right, and the Holy Spirit said no. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that the Holy Spirit said no? I'm not sure. Maybe God wrote with a finger in the clouds, nope. But God doesn't often speak to me that way. If he speaks to you that way, you're pretty lucky. Or maybe they were praying and studying the scripture and they had a conversation and began to build a consensus that God had other plans. But it doesn't say that. Which leads me to say that if you really think you know what you're supposed to do, what you're going to do, and it doesn't turn out, then you basically have two choices. You can ram through it anyway, perhaps later admitting you were wrong, Or you can give in and then later declare, "The Holy Spirit said no." I was trying to mull this over my own personal history. When did I encounter that most vividly? And then I remember, when I was a younger lad, for the first time ever, I fell head over heels in love. She was Norwegian, and she was beautiful. I observed her from a distance, and I wanted to get closer. There was a graciousness in her step. There was oxygen in her laughter. I was convinced she was the one for me. I had never seen someone like this. So one day I got the courage to ask her out for ice cream, and she said yes. A couple days later, I asked if she'd like to go for a walk, and she agreed. And while we're walking, she took my hand. Whoa. It's just about a week into our romance, I was ready to pop the question. So I decided to take it to the next level. Let's get real here. I asked her to a jazz concert. She said, "I don't like jazz. I like the music of Cat Stevens." That was a shock, but I went out and I listened to some of the music she liked, thinking that I might slowly get into her heart and soul. And when I told her this, she smiled and I felt drawn in even more, which made me bold enough to go and buy 2 tickets to that jazz concert, because I was sure she'd want to go. No, she assured me she still didn't want to go. But I was convinced, she's the one. She was so beautiful. I loved being around her. I fell hard. And the night of that concert, I paced beneath her window, walking back and forth, the lights on, what should I do? And on impulse, I just knocked on the door. She opened with a smile. I said, "Are you busy?" She said, "No." I said, "Great." I took her by the hand. I said, "Let's go to that jazz concert." She went, and by the 3rd song, she was fidgeting. At intermission, she excused herself to the restroom, and she didn't come back. Since I was 20 years old and so full of myself, I didn't go looking for her because I'd spent a lot of money on those tickets. The next day, she left me a message saying simply, "I don't think we should see one another anymore." Something about me being controlling. I mean, I was crushed. I mean, that was a really good concert. And when the dust settled and I picked myself out of the ashes, I came to believe the Holy Spirit said no. It was very clear, for all kinds of reasons, that sophomore romance had no future. You ever have a door shut in your face? Did you ever think you knew the will of God without bothering to listen for God, much less listen to the people around you? That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. Not once, and probably more than twice, it was very clear, red light to Asia Minor on the right, red light to Bithynia on the left. So he finds himself in the port city of Troas and doesn't know what to do. Tired, frustrated, he goes to sleep. And during the snoring, while he rests from his aggressiveness and his guard is down, he dreams of a man calling to him, "Come to Macedonia and help us." That had not been in his plans. But it seemed like an open door, like a green light, like an invitation worth pursuing. So he and his companions hopped on the next ship, and that's how the gospel landed in Europe, beginning in the country of Macedonia. Sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says yes. The wise Christian is the one who can tell the difference. And the word that describes that, the word that embodies that, is the word discernment. It is a particularly spiritual way of reaching a decision. And what's curious about discernment, it is never a forced decision. We don't decide something and then bulldoze through it. Rather, we step back, take a breath from our own anxiety, listen to all the sides, pay attention, and try to perceive what's going on beneath it all. Because there's a deeper wisdom from God, a larger will than our own willfulness. And discernment is receiving that wisdom and trusting God as opening the way that needs to be opened. And we realize sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says yes. And sometimes when God says yes, the yes comes in a surprising way. Just imagine Rabbi Paul, with all of his years of Pharisaic training, his love of Scripture, his growing love for Jesus. He was ready to preach the gospel whenever and wherever there was an opening, and the dream says, come to Macedonia. So he's beginning to think big thoughts. He got a message from headquarters. He's going to go there. He goes to Philippi, the leading city in the district. He pretty much taps his foot for about a week. Surely there must be a gathering of the faithful in a city like that. And imagine his surprise when on the Sabbath he goes to the river looking for a place of prayer, and what he finds is a group of women. Now he's a rabbi. He's an old-fashioned Jew. His entire religious training said, be cautious about speaking in public with women, which is precisely what God opens up to him, the ladies' prayer group down by the river. Not what he planned, not what he expected, but the Holy Spirit had said no over here and no over there, and now the Spirit was saying yes to a new opportunity in a land he had never dreamed of actually going. That is, not until God planted another dream in his head and his heart. I think this is a great text for Christian people. It is a continuing reminder that no matter how driven or direct we think we are never in charge of our own future. We don't tell God what kind of blessings we expect, rather we receive the blessings that God first provides. And if we're tuned into the ways of the Holy Spirit, we perceive that these really are blessings. Maybe not what we ever planned, maybe not what our career chart told us they would be, but they are certainly gifts and worthy to be unwrapped. And it's a great text for Christian congregations, particularly a church like this one that has been around for a while. It's easy when things are going well to put everything on autopilot, and then it's even easier to coast and drift or go off course. So part of the task for us, particularly for our leaders, is to keep listening to our changing circumstances, to keep paying attention to what God might be doing here and elsewhere, and to discern what God might be opening up before us in ministry that we share. And all of this makes it a super text for our elders and our deacons. We ordain and install these people today, and we call on them to give us leadership. And we're blessed to have an abundance of people with great skills, but we want more than their skills. They're strong and capable, but we want more than their strength and their capability. We want them to listen to the worship and the wisdom of God, to perceive the emerging invitation that the Spirit of Christ is laying ever before us. We want them to hear the voice of Christ beckoning us forward, calling us to leave our comfortable places and to follow the unfolding will of Christ. So today, let's pray for God to keep speaking, for the Holy Spirit to keep planting dreams in our hearts, and for the risen Christ to keep the way forward, both for our lives and in our life together. When all is said and done, the mission is the same. We are here to love God and love all of our neighbors. We do this not because it's easy, but because this is the way to the fullness of life. We love God, we love neighbor, not because it's a good idea, but because it is God's idea. And it is the invitation that God keeps setting before us. So to one and all, I say, God bless you.